We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey.
Hey.
How are you doing, sister?
I'm blessed, blessed.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. And for the blessing book for the month of March is Pray Big for Your Child by Will Davis Jr. If you would like to be entered and be put on the blessing wheel to have an opportunity to get the book, all you have to do is like, share, and comment, done. Even if it's later, even if it's after, or tomorrow, or whatever.
Right.
We do get notifications that you have commented. And then I will go back and look what was commented. And if I see done, I mark it down, and then I bring it into here, into the studio, and I add it to the list. So don't hesitate. Go ahead. Like, share, and comment. Done.
Amen.
I think I covered it all, Sister Tammy. Would you please pray to start us out
this
morning?
Yes, I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to just be in your presence. God, we thank you that you're always with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And God, we can be confident wherever we go, knowing that you are not only in us, but God, you are moving through us. You are working through us. You are completing what you started in us. And so, God, we thank you that even the good works we come in this place to do today, God, really are not us. They are you in us. And so, you know, even Jesus said that, Father, the works he was doing, it was really you. And so, God, we know the same thing. We thank you for coming and ministering today. Father, we surrender our vessels to you, and God, we ask you to come in and manifest yourself, God, not only in this place, but through the airwaves and to every home, God, that in every car, God, wherever someone is, Father, we just ask you to minister to them right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you to take this word into the nations, north, south, east, and west, and that you take the good news out there and minister to the hearts of the people. We thank you that you are the one who's doing the work today, and Father, we ask you to anoint us and use us for your purpose and open every heart, every mind, every ear, and every eye, that today we may receive the goodness of God in this place right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I like your title.
I pick you.
I like it.
I like it
too.
Who
didn't like to be picked? You know, whenever you're in junior high school or in elementary and you're playing dodgeball and you get to pick teams, who wants to be picked last? Who doesn't want to be picked?
That's exactly right. I literally shared this message on Sunday, and I don't like to come in and bring the same message. I like to bring something different, but the Holy Spirit said, no, this is the word. I said, okay. So I was obeying the Father, but I literally talked about dodgeball.
Did you?
Okay, because I was always picked last, okay? And we'll get into that, okay? And God brought me a revelation. I mean, I've been out of school since, I don't know, I'd have to count back. I mean, whatever 96 was. So that's a long time ago, okay? What are we in, 2023? Okay. So it's almost, what is that? We don't even know. Is that 30 years?
I'm not going to do that to you.
I'm 93. So.
Okay. All right.
We don't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I just got a revelation about some of this stuff from my high school years. I said, it took me 30 years to get this? Like, what? Sometimes I'm a little slow. All right. Well, we're going to jump into the Word of God today. I just want to encourage everybody that the Lord has a word for you today. And he said, come, go and tell my people, I pick them. I pick you. And so I know that we're going to begin to unveil and realize the depth of what God's talking in this hour to us about. God wants us to know our value, and some of us don't know our value. We can be walking with the Lord and not know our value. I feel like I'm still learning my value, and I've been walking with the Lord for 20 plus years, and so I'm still coming into my value. In fact, I would only say I probably started coming into my value probably 5 years ago, okay? So I was walking with the Lord at least 15, 20 years before I began to really even, God began to open up my heart to understand my value to Him. And so today, the Lord wants you to know your value. And so the way we're going to start out with this is God really, He woke me up one day and gave me a revelation about jealousy, okay? And so I was just blown away by what He was sharing with me. And so we're going to start out in that area because it'll bring us back to what God wants to reveal about our value. But I want to look at Galatians 5:21. And as we jump in there, we're going to talk about the root of jealousy. This is what the Lord said to me. And in verse 19, it tells us that the works of the flesh are manifest. It means the works of the flesh are made evident. They're made clear. They're revealed. We see them. And He begins to tell us what those are. And in verse 21, we hear Him say that envy is a work of the flesh. Now, that word envy there is actually zealous, which is jealous. So it's not actually the word envy. Jealousy is wanting what someone has, but envy is wanting what someone has and wanting them to lose what they have. Okay, so that takes it to the next level. So envy goes to wanting somebody else to lose the things they have. But this is talking actually about jealousy. Jealousy is a work of the flesh. Now, we immediately go, but yeah, God is jealous. But His jealous is different because, number one, He's perfect. He's good. He cannot sin. But what He is jealous for is for His children, for His people. They belong to Him. When we're desiring something that belongs to us, that's a different form of jealousy. It's rightfully ours. And when someone is trying to take it or they are turning away, we feel jealous because they belong to us. They've made a commitment to us. But this kind of jealousy that we're talking about is wanting something that does not belong to you, okay? And so that is when it gets into the flesh. And so jealousy, we know, is a fruit of the flesh, and the Bible tells us that we are to crucify and put to death the deeds of the flesh. So jealousy is something that has to be put to death on your part. You have to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to feed that. I'm not going to give into it. I'm putting it down. Now, what is jealousy? When we think about it, I can say it's when I see someone else that has something or they're in a place or there's something about their life that I wish that I had. And when I see that and I feel that in my spirit, I've had to really hone in and pay attention to those subtle little things that jump up. It even comes into the house of the Lord. It can be when somebody else is preaching and you start to think, you have this icky feeling toward them. It may be somebody who gets up and sings, and maybe they sing really good. And so you feel this thing in your chest or your stomach, or it can be even that somebody else was asked to teach, and you felt like you should have been asked to teach, and you've never been asked to teach. And it's this thing that rises up in you. So jealousy is something we have to be aware of and put it to death. So we can know when that thing rises, it's of the flesh. And the flesh, it says, is our enemy. It's opposed to God's ways. So anytime it rises up, we've got to put that thing down. And so 1 Corinthians 13:4, we'll look at that real quick. 1 Corinthians 13:4 is talking about, it's the love chapter. And 1 Corinthians 13:4 tells us, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I'm sorry, I did verse 3, but we'll read it anyway. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, which is love, agape love, God's love, it profits me nothing. Love, God's kind of love, suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Once again, that is jealousy. Love does not get jealous over what does not belong to it. Love vaunts not itself, and it's not puffed up. So we see that jealousy is actually an antonym of love, okay? It's an enemy to love. We cannot walk in the love of God and still walk in jealousy. So we're on different sides. When jealousy rises, that's why we got to put it down, because He tells us to walk in love. So let's go on to 1 Timothy 6:4. And listen, we're human. Every one of us at some point in our life has been jealous. Some of us may feel like we get jealous on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. So it is something that every human being has to deal with. It's we don't get away from it. There's no escaping it. We have to deal with it. But that thing can be put to death. 1 Timothy 6:4 says this. Well, let me just, yeah, let me back up there. Let's look at verse 3. If any man teach anything other than what they had already taught, he said, and they do not consent to wholesome words, even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine and teaching, which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. So once again, what we're seeing here is that jealousy, okay, is coming from pride, or pride comes from jealousy, vice versa. So the Lord wants us to understand that jealousy is a symptom of pride, okay? So pride, we always want to get to the root of something. And the root even of jealousy is pride. And so God is unveiling this to us so that we can say, okay, I keep getting rid of jealousy, but that thing keeps rising back up. Well, we gotta kill the whole thing, which is to deal with the pride, because the fruit of pride is jealousy. So let's go on to the next verse, which is James 3:16. We're just kind of laying a foundation here about what jealousy is as we jump into this. James 3:16 says this, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." So once again, wherever jealousy is, there is confusion, which is disorder, and there is every evil work. What do we know? When the body is out of order, and we're talking about our physical body, if something is not right in our body, what does it do? It causes all kinds of trouble. And so this is what is happening in the spiritual realm, that when we have jealousy or strife, he's saying what happens is the body gets out of order and it won't flow properly. It won't work properly. When something's wrong with my vascular system or my blood system, whatever you want to call it, it hinders the flow of the blood, okay? So it's the same thing. Things are out of order in the body when jealousy rises up, so we've got to put that thing down. But you can see why the enemy wants to stifle the flow of Christ's body, because he can hinder the body by causing jealousy and all this stuff that rises back up, strife and all that. So look at Romans 1:29. Okay, what I want to say about the last verse is that jealousy triggers or fuels disorder, okay? So it fuels it, and that's why it comes into the body of Christ, because it wants to do that. It will bring evil, and it will bring trouble. So turn to Romans 1:29, and we'll look at that scripture there. Romans 1:29. It's talking about, it's really giving us characteristics of somebody who is an unbeliever. Okay, and it says that it's revealing the characteristics. So the characteristics of an unbeliever is someone who is being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, which that again is full of jealousy. Okay, and so murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. And so as you keep going on, it actually begins to say that these people that are committing such things are worthy of death. And so we have to be very serious about jealousy. It is not of God. It's a characteristic. Let me say this. It's a characteristic of the old man. So you, before Christ, you were jealous. It was something that was natural. But God said, you are born again in Christ Jesus, and you are born of spirit. So the new you walks in the spirit, but the old you is dead. Because remember, the Bible says we got to reckon ourselves dead to sin. Well, we know jealousy is sin. So we got to reconcile ourselves as dead to it. We got to see ourselves as dead to it. We say, no, I'm dead to you, jealousy. But the flesh will try to rise back up. It will try to resurrect itself. It's dead. The Bible said so. But I found it fascinating. There was a sweet woman of God. I love her. She's a spiritual mentor to me, Sister Norma Golson. And she said the first time she watched, she saw frog legs being fried. She said that someone was cooking them, and they said, come over here and watch, you know. And she said the frogs were dead, but when they put them in the hot oil, the legs began to move again. okay? And she said, those things aren't dead, you know? And they said, no, they're dead. But this is the ligaments, the tendons, everything in that frog's body began to move again when it hit the oil. And so she said, it's like the flesh. It's dead, but there are certain triggers that will cause that thing to rise back up and start to move again and try to find a place again. And so you have to keep putting it down anytime it rises up. And so we never get to a place where we're like, well, that thing's dead. It'll never show back up in my life. No, it can. And so we have to be very vigilant to agree with God's word. That thing is dead. And when it tries to rise back up, we say, no, you're dead. So when jealousy rises in us, we can be sure that our old man is trying to resurrect himself. So we got to put him back down and keep moving forward. I believe confession is a big part of that. You begin to speak in line with God's word, shut that thing down, agree with the opposite, with God's word, what is true. And so, the Father has told us that jealousy is something that must be killed. It's not something we're supposed to entertain. Because a lot of times people say, well, I'm only human. And it's like, well, no, I'm spirit, Monica. I'm spirit, sister. I'm not just human. And so I have been told by the word of God, I can put this thing down. I can rule over my flesh. Remember, Paul said, I bring my body under subjection, lest at the end I be a castaway myself. He said, I've learned to take this flesh and say, no flesh, you're not going to rule us. We're going to rule you by the Spirit. So we have the authority and power to do that. This is what grace is. So many times people think, well, grace is just the unmerited favor of God. And I've said this till I'm blue in the face, but sometimes people don't know it. So I want to make it clear that when you actually read the actual definition of grace in the Greek language, which it's written in here, when you read it, it says that it is the divine influence, which is God's influence, upon the heart of the believer, which is your heart, and its reflection in your life. So what it is really is God's ability in you, enabling you to come over what you couldn't come over before, enabling you to do what you couldn't do before. It's God's, I like what one of our men of God from church says. He said, it's God's super on your natural. Okay? It's God's super on your natural. You shouldn't be able to come over these things that you used to stumble in, but God gives you the ability. You have the divine influence of God. Just like we've said before, when you drink alcohol, what happens? That alcohol begins to influence you. It influences the way you walk, you talk. Everything you do is influenced by that alcohol. But when God's influence comes on you, all of a sudden you have what you need to come over those things that stand in front of you, to do those things that are in front of you, to not turn around like you used to. So God's grace enables me to do what I couldn't do before. So many times we're dealing with the fruit, and we need to get to the root. And like we said, pride is the root, okay? Pride is the root. But I believe God has revealed something to me, and this is where this whole message came from. He spoke to me one day, and he said to me, Tammy, he said, do you know where jealousy is coming from? And I said, no, God, where's it coming from? He said, jealousy is really just the desire for recognition. Okay, I want you to grab a hold of this. He said, Tammy, at the root of that thing is your desire to be recognized. Now, I want you to understand what recognition is, okay? Recognition, let me find it here. Recognition, I wrote it down. Recognition is wanting to be recognized, okay? It's wanting to be praised. It's wanting to be respected. It's wanting to be admired, okay, and seen as important. So what it comes down to is that you and I, when we find ourselves battling jealousy, it's coming down to the fact that we're fearful of being passed over. We're fearful that we would have no value, that we would be unimportant. And so that's why we get jealous. It's not always about wanting what that person has. The root of really why you want what someone else has is because you want to have value and worth in other people's eyes. Think about it for a second. When somebody drives by or somebody you know comes in and they're like, I got a new car, and they're all excited, and there's something in you that gets jealous, like, oh, well, I wish I had a new car and all of that. Really what's happening is a lot of times what's happening is you are seeing everybody's admiring that new car. That person is being acknowledged. They're being valued for something that you're being looked over for, and you think, I wish I had that. It's not really the car. Yes, my husband said sometimes it's the car, Tammy. And I guess if you're into cars, maybe that's a thing. So, but for example, somebody gets up in the church and they begin to sing, and they sing so beautifully, and everybody's like, wow, wow, and they're praising them, and you're jealous of that. What you're really desiring is that you could be viewed as important, that your voice would matter to people. It really comes down to you feel overlooked and undervalued. And so God was revealing this to me. And so he said, in fact, let's look at Luke 9:46. I want to turn there. He said, Tammy, it's really the fact that my people don't know their value. So he said, when you begin to know your value, you don't need other people's recognition. You don't need people's praise. You don't need people to choose you, because you recognize God chooses you when you begin to understand who you are. So look at Luke 9:46. That's where I want to get in there. It says, then there arose a reasoning among the disciples, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me. And whosoever shall receive me receives him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And so I love the TPT, and I don't have it offhand. Do you have the TPT? I love the way it says it, if you look that up. But basically what's happening here is there's a competition here. There's a jealousy that one might be more important than the other. And Jesus deals with this by sharing this scripture. Well, we shared it, but he told it in reality. The Passion Translation. Yeah. We'll see if she's got it. Okay. The disciples begin to argue and become preoccupied over who would be the greatest one among them. Who would be the one who would get the attention? Who would be the one seen as most important? Who would be the most valued in that group? They were arguing about this, and fully aware of their innermost thoughts. Don't you just love Jesus? He knows our innermost thoughts. These are the things he's bringing to the surface, not to shame us, but he's bringing them because he said, child, you are in bondage, and I want you free. There is a place of freedom where you come into the love of the Father, the acceptance of the Father, knowing who you are in Christ, and you don't have to worry about this anymore. You don't have to try to reach the top. In fact, what you begin to do is you begin to push everyone else to the top. Woo, I love it. See, you begin to push everyone else up. You say, I know who I am, and I just want to pick all these people of God up. I want to pick these, my brothers and sisters, my children, God's children, and I want to elevate them. I want to help them get to the place where God wants them to get. I'm no longer trying to scramble, and I just see this picture of them coming up, and they're just like reaching, and they're clawing each other to get to the top. You know, you remember how like kids are, and they're trying to get to the top of the mountain, but it's like the body of Christ is the mountain, and we're using them to get to the top. And God said, that is not my way. That's the flesh, child. Put that thing down. He said, I want you to begin to be the one who is like the cheerleader who says, I'll take the bottom. Yes, I'll lift the one to the top that can be on top and stand up there and be seen. I don't have to be seen. And so God is doing this in his body. I believe that is God's way. The kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of this world. In the world, we claw our way to the top, but in the kingdom of God, we're happy to sit on the bottom and push everyone else to the top. That's God's way. And in fact, he said, when you get to the bottom and you say, I'll be the one on bottom who'll be silent, and I'll go ahead and push everybody else to the top, guess what? You get exalted. He said, it's the humble who I exalt. So actually, we ought to be clamoring to be the one on the bottom. We say, hey, let me down on the bottom. I'm going to get on the bottom. Okay, because if we get on the bottom, we're in the right position to be elevated to the destiny and purpose that God has for our lives. It's not coming because you're the best speaker. It's not coming because you have the coolest church, whatever. It's not coming because you have the cool vibe that everybody likes, and now everybody's going to want to be around you because you're the hip person right now. That's not it. You can bring people because you're hip and cool, but if you ain't got no power, ain't nothing going to change in the lives of those people, and we got to get to the heart of it. I said, Father, I want to see change. I'm not looking to build my kingdom. I'm looking to build your kingdom, and God, I want to see souls changed. God, I don't want to just see a body healed. I want to see a body healed, and I want to see a transformation of a soul, that God, that person would never be the same, and they would come into all they are in Christ, and God, they would be set free and loosed from the bondages of things like jealousy and envy and strife. They wouldn't be held captive any longer in that, God, but they would be set free and able to just be like Christ, who said, I humbled myself and I became obedient. I didn't need to be nobody. I didn't have to cry out and be somebody in everybody's eyes. He said, I knew who I was. See, God is bringing us to a place of freedom. And so he said, fully aware of their innermost thoughts, Jesus called a little child to his side and he said to them, if you tenderly care for this little child on my behalf. Did you catch that, boy? That's a revelation in itself. Think of every one of God's children as a tender child of God. He said, if you would start to care tenderly for my children on my behalf, it's on God's behalf that we are loving our brothers and sisters and tenderly caring for them. They become more important. See, the Bible says that we are to view others as more important than ourselves. He said, when you do that, you're tenderly caring for me. Wow. Caring for Christ. And if you care for me, you're honoring my Father who sent me. The one who is least important in your eyes is actually the most important one of all. And so the disciples were scrambling to say, who is going to be the greatest among us? And he said, I want you to begin to see the one, because that's when you start thinking about who's going to be the greatest, you start measuring everybody. Well, am I better than them? You start to decide, oh, I think I do this better than them. I handle this better than them. You start measuring yourself against these people, and you start actually demoting that person in your heart, in your eyes. Yeah, I think I'm better than them. That's good. I don't have to worry about that one. And you cast that one off. But you got that one in sight that you're thinking about because you think they might measure up more than you. So you've got your eyes on that person, and you've totally forgot the one that you thought was not even a concern. You put them at the back because they really don't matter to you, because you say, yeah, I've got that covered. I'm already above that person. I don't have to work on that person. But God said, that's the very person you need to go back to, and you need to tenderly care for that person and lift them up and see them as the most important of all. And that's God's way. And so jealousy doesn't do that. And so let me say it this way. We can come in the world. We work for success. We work for recognition. We work to be important and valued. We want to be the top of the top in whatever we're doing. And then we come into the kingdom of God, and we bring that right into the kingdom of God. And the Father said, this is not right. He said, this is not right. He said, God told me, he said, Tammy, he said, I want my people to begin to repent because they've been desiring success in the kingdom of God. They've been desiring recognition, admiration, praise. They want to be somebody important. They want to be somebody valued in my kingdom. And he said, that is not my way. And so he said, in the kingdom of God, when we want to accomplish great things, let me say this, and we want to be successful, he said, that's the flesh, not the spirit. Okay? Now we go, wait a minute. It is good if we accomplish great things for the kingdom. Yes, you're right. But what is at the heart of it? You have to really get to the heart of that thing. Because Jesus, nowhere did we see him come in and talk about how many great things he was going to accomplish for the kingdom of God. He became no one. In fact, it said he laid his own reputation down to do the Father's will. See, a lot of us are building our own kingdoms, and we're wrapping up in a pretty little bow and calling it God's kingdom. And it's not. God said, we've got to deal with this thing in us that wants success and wants to be somebody and wants to accomplish great things in the name of God. Because when we accomplish great things, often it attaches our name to that great thing. And God said, I can't do that, child. He said, if I do that through you right now, he said, what would happen is it would cause you to be led astray and you would go the wrong direction. So greatness actually comes when we go ahead and begin to serve the one that we thought was not important. That's the way to greatness. And so everything is different in the kingdom of God. And so we're getting ready, and we'll take a break in just a second. He said, I want to say this, and then I'll shut it down. God showed me a vision when he was revealing this to me. He showed me a vision. And the Bible says Christ is a seed, okay? Like Christ, I believe, he's revealed this before to me, that basically when we're born again, the seed of Christ comes in us, okay? It's the seed of Christ. Well, a seed has to burst forth, it has to grow, it has to bear and bring forth fruit. And I believe that's the maturing of Christ in us, okay? And as we move out of the way, we decrease, he increases, that he begins to mature in us. Yes, he's full grown and mature, but he's not always mature in us, okay? Because we our flesh can hinder his maturity in us. And so God showed me this picture, and he said, Tammy, he said when a little seed bursts forth and you begin to see the little shoot, I guess what you want to call it, the little spring of grass come forth, he said, isn't it the most miraculous thing? He said, when that thing begins to come through the ground, he said, you can pluck that with your hands. He said, you can take that thing, you can bust it, you just tear it apart, you just rip it apart. He said, easily. He said, but have you ever thought about the fact that that little piece of grass or that little blade from that plant, it had to come through grass, it had to come through hard soil, it had to come through rocks, it had to come through all kinds of things, yet in your hands you can snap that thing easily. You can pluck it up from the ground. How is it that it can move its way through the hardness of the earth? He said, Tammy, it's miraculous. It's a supernatural thing that I've done. And he said, Christ in you is that same way. He comes up to things like jealousy, which are very hard to get through. He said, but I keep pressing my way through as I keep seeking God. Christ in me begins to press and press and press, and he can eventually bust through jealousy. He can bust through the things of the flesh, and he can make his way through, and he can grow in you. And this is a miracle. God said, I'm doing in you what you cannot do in yourself. He said, seek me and Christ will become strong in you, and he can make his way through the things that should not be possible to come through. And jealousy is one of those. And so he said that with God, all things are possible. Sometimes we think there are some things in our life we don't know how we can get out of, how we can break through these things. He said, it's miraculous. And so he said, God can do what we cannot do in ourselves. And so God said, eventually, all that will be left is Christ in me. Maturity is Christ in me. Christ in me. Tammy is dead and Christ is living. That is the full sonship of Jesus Christ in us. And so we're going to jump back in this in a minute. But be encouraged that, yes, you say, I've got that in me, and I've been struggling with it for a long time. God can do what you cannot do, and he will if you just yield to him. Amen?